Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
Some talk around this town, talk about you and me. How full of love with you, wanted again. I'm sure you know the one. Goodbye, you said, like a coward. It'll be better in the
Welcome to KX93.5. This is the Importance of Being show. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. Today, my guest is Debbie Magnuson from Project Cuddle. And Debbie has been with me before when I was working on another project. But she rescues abandoned babies. Is that right?
Well, basically what we do is we prevent babies from being abandoned. And so our goal is that women learn about us in schools with the free DVDs that we offer or handouts that we put at Planned Parenthood to get them safe medical assistance, keep it confidential, and help them hold their hand as they do something safe instead of breaking the law and abandoning their baby.
Okay. And how long have you been doing this?
Oh, goodness gracious. It's been a desire of mine for 52 years, but it has come to play 20 years this July 8th.
So it's 20 years in action? Wow.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get started?
What happened was when I was a little girl, my dad took me to Mexico when I was 8. And he was a dentist, and I held a bowl while he, and a flashlight while he pulled the teeth of the orphans. And at that point, I remember sitting down and having raccoon stew, and I know what chair I was in, but then I could never
raccoon
put...
Raccoon stew?
Yes, delicious.
What about the poor little raccoon?
I know. But there were a lot of poor little hungry girls and boys in that room, so we were eating what we were given because the orphans had to eat everything and wanted more too. So at that point, I blanked out. I didn't remember anything. I just knew when I drove home, I was going to save babies from being abandoned. And what happened was that I asked my mom when I started, I'm on my fourth book right now, and I asked mom while she was in a convalescent home, Mommy, how come... I'm so obsessed with this. Why am I so obsessed? And she says, well, maybe it had something to do with the fact that that homeless man was looking in the heap of trash outside the orphanage, and he brought in a dirty old newborn that was screaming and had the umbilical cord still attached.
Oh, wow. So that was just almost formative for you at that age.
Yeah, it was like, it really hit me to finally hear that last week. And
that's something we don't usually have on the show is a telephone call. Well, that's a good time to take a break. I want to remind the listeners that this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. And we'll be back in just a bit with more from Debbie Magnuson.
You and your love to come on and rescue.
KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Today, my guest is Debbie Magnuson, and she runs Project Cuddle, and she intervenes in unwanted pregnancies and tries to help prevent babies from being abandoned. So when we left off, we were talking about how you got started, and you said that it came from a formative experience, but that really happened about 50 years ago, but you started the actual project about 20 years ago. So let's come to that point. Okay. So when did you get to the point where you said, I've got to take some action, you know, this is more than just something that I feel or I'm thinking about, but I want to make an actual difference?
Well, I would say that was in 1983 when my father and my husband and I, we started to foster because our children were 5 and 6 and we thought that was a good age. They wouldn't get jealous too much and it would be
right.
A good stage for them and an example. And so we started out and I thought I'd get the abandoned babies, but I wasn't. I was getting the drug exposed babies. And back then they were all labeled.
And were they infants?
Newborns.
Newborns, okay.
Yeah. And they were all labeled as crazy, oh my gosh, you know, all this stuff. And I ended up fostering 35 drug-exposed babies.
Okay.
And then adopted 5 of them.
Oh.
And so my house was full. In fact, in order for us to keep the final one, you can have 2 boys in the room, but when one turns 18, it was either we had to give up the little one,
okay,
or we had to find another room,
right.
And so we enclosed half of our living room to make it a bedroom for our 18-year-old son.
Okay, so that you could accommodate.
Right. And then during that time, there was a wave of abandoned babies. It was January 96, and Yamaha USA in Buena Park, someone found one in a desk drawer.
Oh my gosh, wow.
And she had died, was wrapped in bloody underwear, and the employee just left her there and walked away.
Wow.
And then 3 months later, it was another one, baby Jesus. He was suffocated in a trash bag in Santa Ana. And I said, why don't they bring them to me? I don't understand. And then the next question was like God tapping me on the shoulder. How can they know you exist?
Right. How do they know
where
to find you?
Yeah. So I went and called that 1-800 number if you wanted to get your own toll-free number. And I got
800
took
number.
Me like it took me like 2 hours, but we got 1-888 TO Cuddle.
Okay.
And then in Spanish it's 1-888 Vive Baby.
Oh, okay.
So we got it.
You got the 800 number, and
I called all my foster mom friends and said, "Come on down. We're going to launch this July 8th, and have an unbirthday, a birthday cake for those who don't celebrate birthdays because they passed away."
Okay.
And then the press was there, Orange County Register, just the local cable station. I was kind of bummed by it, but that night we got a call from Telemundo. And a little boy had been beaten to death. And so they decided they wanted to interview us.
Oh,
and I said, well, sir, okay, we could do that.
Yeah, if you want.
Right. Yeah, so we did. And my friend, who was my housekeeper, kept giggling. So I had to go outside. So she'd stop. She was so nervous. And then the next morning, 12 hours after that call, a woman called us from Santa Ana.
Okay.
Same city where that baby had been found dead. And she said, I was raped. I hate this baby. Figure something out or I'm putting it in the park when it's born.
Okay.
And so she had another child that she was a good mother to. She was fighting for custody and she knew that there was no way she could do it with this baby. And I saw the park and the gully where she was going to dump that baby. And we ended up being able to convince her to come down to my house. She stayed there. That night she went home and said she would think about it. But I had a basket on my front porch and said, in case you decide you're delivering, you decide to do something, just drop it here.
Right, here's a basket, you can put them in there anytime.
Yeah, and there were no laws at that time, so I was like before everything.
Before, was that safe harbor?
Safe haven or safe surrender laws. I was 5 years ahead.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
And not just ahead, just charged into the fight, right?
Absolutely, and it's like social services called me non-containable. I take it as a compliment. It's on my nameplate, you know, Debbie Magnuson, founder, CEO, non-containable.
Dangerous and non-containable.
And what's funny is I would get, like we got our first case, and 4 days later, on the 13th, I was coaching in the delivery in a hospital that we arranged with an obstetrician, with
all the resources.
All the things, and a rescue family who wanted a baby. And she said after the delivery, "For the first time, I feel like I've done something I'm proud of."
Oh, my.
And that's what we want these girls to say.
It's instead of having, I guess, you know, a life enduring regret.
Yes, exactly.
Something that's hanging over you all this forever. Mm-hmm. Essentially. You know, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. Today, my guest is Debbie Magnuson, and she is with Project Cuddle. And we'll be right back in just a bit with more from Debbie. All right. Well, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. Today, my guest is Debbie Magnuson. She started Project Cuddle, and she prevents babies from being abandoned. When we left off, you had just gotten your first case. You 4 days later, you're walking her through, or you're in the delivery room with her, and you bring that baby. You bring that baby into life. In a caring environment, and she's got a parents that she's going to go to, and so you're in business. And so what happens after that?
Well, during that time, there was a show on called Day and Date, and it was on Channel 4 NBC, and they called and said, "Hey, we've heard about you, and we want to know if we can follow you with a case." And I'm like, this isn't really a good time. I got a really intense case I'm dealing with.
Yeah, I have a case.
It's like, back away. But then they said, "Please, ask the lady. So I said, "All right." And so I asked her, and she only spoke Spanish. And she said, "Yes, I'll do it, because then my family will never see it, but it may help other girls." And so we did it. We changed her clothes, her hair, her jewelry. And 2 weeks later, that show went live, and we were now national and into Canada. So we really were like, whoa.
100 numbers really going to come in handy now.
Oh, man. And then we'd go on Geraldo, I think 6 times. And we were on Ricky Lake 5 times. She's a great friend. And she did the back of my last book. She wrote that.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have to talk about
the book a little bit, too.
Yeah, and then now I'm working on the new one, and John Stamos is going to be writing the back of the book for me.
Okay. So you got off to a good, you got some media attention. Then did the phone start ringing?
We had 6 lines at the house, okay? So you had like three in the kitchen, like one in the kitchen, 3 in the living room, and then 1 upstairs in my bedroom at all times. And it's like,
a hotline.
Yeah, it was. And so it's like if there was an airing, like a re-airing of a show, like Geraldo was on again,
okay. And
we didn't have any warning.
Oh.
Then all of a sudden at like 6 in the morning, you'd hear ring, 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 ring. Everybody, I'd yell, grab the hotlines. And so, and I even had my seven-year-old who had a lisp, and he goes, "Hello, this is Tyler with Project Cuddle. Are you pregnant or in need of help?" And then
oh my gosh.
It was serious, you know, because, and this was life or death.
All hands on deck.
Yeah, and it's like I'd be holding Susie Q and at the fairgrounds to take a case call at the same time.
Okay.
And one of those girls even called me, or she called me, and then she sent me some papers because her son and she lived there while she had been raped too.
Okay.
She's from Iowa, and she came out the week before she delivered. And at the end, the wonderful ending is she became a nurse. She had two more children. She got married, had two more children.
Okay.
And the first one that she had that lived with our family, and now we had seven children of our own.
Right.
And then we had this mom and this other one.
Like, eat is enough.
Yeah.
No, we need more.
My dream is the cuddle house. I want the cuddle house. We need it so desperately.
All right, well, we'll come back to that. But.
But yeah, so this young woman just sent me their holiday card, and her son has joined the service now, too. And
oh,
so
gosh,
I'm just so proud.
Good outcomes out of
absolutely.
This process.
Absolutely.
So it kind of, you know, blossoms, if you will. How many people have you, how many babies have you saved? How many people have you helped? Can you put a number
on it? We've taken in around 8,000 calls.
Okay.
I like to count it by, if you can give me a complete conclusion and show me what work was done on the case to help her, and she's better because of our help.
Okay.
And we have the evidence of the birth and everybody's safe. That's a win. Okay. So 10% usually of what the calls are turn into actual rescues.
Okay.
So we right now are at baby 790, a little girl that was just born, and she was 7 pounds and 21 and a half inches long, so a string bean. But mom and she are doing fine, but she had no place to live and no food and nothing for the baby, and yet she loved the baby. So we're helping her get set up and have a future.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more from Debbie Magnuson of Project Cuddle. This is the Importance of Being show, and you're listening to KX93.5.
Don't worry, baby. Everything will turn out all right. kisma dile da fok ni ho khamma limette kisma su aksigina bekuma kuma khol dal dine yo linek si yo monesiman linesiman moi dile mi japale. Les raisons qui nous poussent de changer tout. J'aimerais qu'on oublie leur couleur pour qu'ils espèrent. Beaucoup de sentiments, de race qu'il faut, qu'ils désespèrent. Je veux les gamins ouverts, les amis pour parler de leur peine, de leur joie pour qu'ils le vivent. Des infos qui ne divisent pas. Changer. Seven seconds away, just as long as I stay.
Okay, so this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. Today, my guest is Debbie Magnuson, and she's with Project Cuddle. She works to prevent unwanted pregnancies and abandoned babies, or to help with unwanted pregnancies so that they don't end up being abandoned babies. How's that? Is that better?
That's better.
Okay. All right, so you've said that you're on baby number 790. Are there any that stick out? I think I have to confess, I've interviewed you before, so I heard a story. You told a story that I'd really like to hear you tell again, and it was about a dancer.
Well, actually, she was a full exotic nude dance stripper, is what she called herself. Because I asked her, "What are you, a stripper?" No, I'm a full exotic nude stripper. And the day I met her, we were filming for our first school DVD that we could get out to the schools and educate them on how they can safely surrender their baby or get our help to get even better in the hospital and have doctor care and all that good stuff.
Right.
And I touched this girl's belly before we started filming.
Oh, yes.
I said, "You're having twins." And she said, "No." I said, "Yes, you're having twins." And then we went and filmed. During that time, she actually picked the family that she wanted to have adopt her baby and cried. And we got it on video. And it was just so touching. And she thanks them. After he says thank you, she goes, "Well, thank you." And so she had a very bad pregnancy. She had eclampsia she had preeclampsia. And then I was there when the babies were delivered, and they were little. They were like 2.5 or 3 pounders.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was tough. And the cord was around the one neck and
all the bad things that you could imagine. Yeah. And imagine if that had happened without any attention, any
exactly
medical care.
She wouldn't have made it.
Right.
And so she safely delivered.
Not only would the baby's not made,
she would have died for sure. Because what happened was, after that, we were getting ready for our fundraiser at Halloween time, and we had John Stamos and Bob Saget coming to that. And he was excited because he was going to get to meet this young lady. And we got her out of the hospital, and she went and she signed her waiver for her rights for the babies. Mm-hmm. And then we went out and had our pedicures. And then we stopped to see my mom at the hospital.
Okay.
And then I checked her blood pressure there, and it was a little high. And then we went to the hotel and had girls' night, ordered food in, movie, and the whole bit. And then all of a sudden she says, "I don't feel right." And I said, "Well, let me take your blood pressure." It was so high, I couldn't even get it to register.
Oh, my gosh.
So I just said, "Okay, you know what? Let's go down to the emergency room now. I think that's the best thing that we can do." And I was just very calm about it. And at the front desk, I told them what was going on ahead of time, so they knew this could be an issue.
Right.
And so I took her down to the hospital. She spent 6 weeks in intensive care.
Oh, my gosh.
And her high blood pressure was just humongo. So when we were having the party, John's like, "Well, where is this girl? I'm supposed to meet her." Right. And I said, "Johnny, Johnny, she's in the hospital. She can't see you." He goes, no, I want to go see her. I said, "No, you can't." And not too many people would say no to John Stamos.
Right, this is true.
But I do. And and so,
well, if you've met her, you'd know.
Yeah. I'm like, "Johnny, listen to me. You cannot go, because if you do, you'll kill her."
Right.
And he's like, "What?" And then he thinks it. I said, "Her blood pressure's off the Richter scale. It's going to blow up. She's going to die if she sees you." And he goes, okay, we'll do dinner later.
Yeah, next time.
And so we did, and we ate at the Palms, and okay. And he was very nice to her, and she just felt like such a pretty woman moment type thing.
Uh-huh.
And that's when John asked, "What can my title be?" And I said, "Well, how about national spokesperson?" And that's when it happened, and it was with that wonderful girl. And fast forward 10 years, and her daughter, who makes the same hand gestures as her, put together a fundraiser, and their dance studio had everybody pay money to come in and watch dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the parents were all there and the relatives. And then her twin brother, he was in charge of the silent auction with his dad.
Okay.
And I had to the left of me the birth mother, and to the right of me I had the adoptive mom.
Okay.
And it
wow.
just was, I videotaped the whole thing, and it was just like heaven to see
like
this.
Full circle. I mean, yeah. See the positive outcomes, be there, see them growing up
and helping for the next generation. They appreciate and wanted to give back. I have one that just wrote a book, and she put me as the teacher, Mrs. Magnuson, in the book. And I got to the end, and I looked at who it was, and it was the baby that, okay, my son married one of the girls that was through our program.
Okay.
She gave her baby up for adoption.
Okay.
And then they fell in love and got married. And this was a photo, and this book was all about her baby.
Wow.
And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. I get blessings every day of girls and parents. And
so do you... You said that there are some adopted parents that are involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have all 790 babies yourself. How many other people are involved in helping you with your effort?
We're little but mighty. I mean, funds are very, very tight, so we don't have a lot. But we have two full-time staff,
okay,
and three part-time people.
Okay, and then do you have a network of people who will accept babies? How does that work?
Well, we have probably about 100 families that are open and willing to adopt a baby.
Okay.
Now, the criteria is going to be different in every situation. The girl gets to pick what she wants in a family.
Okay.
But it can be, like we had one that just wanted him to be vegetarian. That was the only thing. We had another that wanted a family that traveled, because when she was a child, she lived in Anaheim in a foster home, and she'd never even been to Disneyland.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so she valued that.
Yeah, and then she ended up marrying a serviceman and flew all over the country.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but she gave that baby up, and that baby had a passport before she was one and went to Europe. So it's pretty cool.
So, yeah, there's so much for wishes, right?
Exactly, and I try and let them know, I'm not asking them to love the baby. I'm just saying, even if you hate it, give it a gift.
Right.
And they really think about that, and then that makes it better for them too.
Because I guess sometimes the woman falls into these circumstances, maybe not out of her own wishes or intent.
Correct.
And so they sometimes don't have a happy feeling about what's going on in their body.
Accidents happen, and we have, you know, there's proof that the good girls do things too, because at USC campus, they've had 3 babies abandoned there in the last 10 years.
Oh, my. Wow. You know, you when I talk to you, you know, it just comes like it's front and center, where it, you know, is something like a problem that you only hear on the news or something like that. But it's
my life.
They're actually out there, and there are people having these struggles.
Yeah.
And you're there to help the moms along the way so that they can be healthy, they can get the right kind of care.
Exactly.
So that they're not endangering their lives, and they're not setting the baby back.
And they're becoming better citizens. We're going to have, like with that girl with the full exotic nude stripper, what we did was we had her come in the office and volunteer hours. And we had a van. She was able to work it off and earn that van. Mm-hmm. But until she worked up enough time to get insurance, we wouldn't let her drive it.
Wow.
So we help them with getting their GEDs, their driver license. I've done weddings for them. I've been at a bris. I've carried a baby down for the naming ceremony. I've buried a couple babies.
Sorry.
So yeah. So I've pretty much done it all, I think.
Okay. So, you've gotten into this crusade, if you will, to make a difference, and
mm-hmm.
you're definitely making a difference. You made a lot of impact. The 790 babies, I sure would attest to that, and the moms and the other families that have been involved. But if someone wanted to help out or be a part of this, what can they do? What opportunities are there? Do you have volunteer opportunities? Do you take donations? What kind of...
All the above.
How can people be a part
okay.
of this?
One would be volunteering. You can go to projectcuddle.org, and there's a section, how can I help? And you can click and become a local volunteer, which could be, you could be a hotline operator, and we give you training. You take two 12-hour shifts a month.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad.
No. And then you would be able to also work with a girl hands-on, like help get her to doctor's appointments, things like that.
Okay.
If they need that. Coach in a delivery. we're putting together an organization of women that are trying to help in raising funds, because every time we have an event, I end up in the hospital.
Oh.
And I end up in ICU very easily. My body's tired. I've been doing this a long time.
You've been going at it pretty hard.
Yeah, and raising 7 kids while doing so. So it's been challenging. But basically, like, they could buy tickets. There's VIP tickets. You get to have your picture taken with John Stamos.
Okay.
And that's February 20th at the Long Beach Hilton.
And so you're having this event.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Flower Power, it appears.
Back to the 60s and 70s.
Okay.
Be there or be square. I already got my bell bottoms at home ready to go.
And your Flower Power.
Oh, shirt. Yeah. Yeah, my Jeez. Over. Yeah, oh, that's funny. So, and John came out in his John Travolta outfit.
Love beads and all. Okay, oh, nice.
So, you know, it's a fun thing to do. Get a group of girlfriends together, or somebody's birthday. Take them and do this.
Okay, so when is it again, and where?
It is February 20th, and it's at the Long Beach Hilton, and you can go to projectcuddle.org. And you'll see a thing where it says, I think it says Dinner by the Bay. Click on it and you can buy your tickets. And you can also call the office if you prefer, 714-432-9681. We have happy people there to help. We need to get into corporations. I'm a great speaker, I promise you. I'm not saying that out of ego, okay? Honestly,
right.
It's I am speaking because of the children and the need. The next time you hear about a baby dying, being abandoned, you're going to think of me. And that's sad. And I don't like to know that you're going to remember that, but you will.
Yeah.
And we're just, you know, we need more funds to keep the hotline going. That's the most utmost importance. And secondarily, we need people to just help us, whether it's doing a garage sale and raise money, or go around your neighborhood and drop off little cloth bags and say, we're doing a coin drop thing.
Okay.
Anything.
All right. So you've been listening to The Importance of Being Show. Today my guest was Debbie Magnuson. And she started and runs Project Cuddle, which intercedes in unwanted pregnancies to prevent babies from being abandoned and from mothers and babies dying as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very noble work that she's doing. And I admire her because she's one of the people who just gets into the fight. She doesn't wonder, you know, if she's enough to make a difference. She's already in it. Mm-hmm.
I was in it when I didn't know what it was to do.
Right. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. And
thank you.
I will be at the Flower Power Party, and I hope that you guys will all be out there as well. This is KX93.5. You've been listening to The Importance of Being Show, and we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Past cracks beneath the door. Holier than thou, surrendered, executed. Anyhow, scrawled is old, so go.